Joining us now is Myrna Schwartz. She is a neuroscientist who runs a language aphasia research lab at the Mass Rehabilitation Institute in Philadelphia. Myrna, thank you so much for being here.
It's my pleasure.
What exactly happens to the brain that causes these kinds of comprehension problems?
Well, aphasia is a disorder that affects language in all of its manifestations. And that means that speaking can be affected and often is. Understanding language can be affected, reading, writing. And language is organized, produced in usually the left side of the brain, and in a form that's almost like a mosaic, which is to say that different language skills are represented in particular areas. And so depending on where the stroke hits, depending on which particular tissues die, which are temporarily in shock and can subsequently recover. Depending on all of those things, one can see a very different pattern of language impairment. In Melissa's case, from what she described, the stroke affected had lasting consequences, primarily in her ability to comprehend language. Her speaking is much less affected, which is rare. And it sounds like numbers may be particularly difficult for her. That's part of the extraordinary mosaic pattern that we see in the brain, is that different categories of words and concepts can be selectively affected.
We hear so much about brain plasticity these days.
Yes.
And the brain's ability to change, to adapt, to do all those things. So what are the outcomes typically for people who are dealing with this?
It's such a mysterious area. This is the reason why so much scientific research is going into this area now. First of all, because in contrast to the way things were when I entered the field 30-some-odd years ago, we now recognize that the brain has, the adult brain, has much greater plasticity than we ever thought was possible. So now a great deal of research is looking at the question of how can we harness the brain's plasticity in order to maximize recovery from stroke. And that involves several steps. One step is to have a really refined diagnosis of what the language problem is so that we can target behavioral therapies, the kinds of practice skills that are done in speech-language therapy. Another thing is to understand exactly how the brain computes those specialized processes and what the capacity is of the residual tissue. So we're studying how the tissue around a stroke sometimes recovers the function, and how the tissue in the opposite hemisphere, on the opposite side of the brain, can sometimes contribute to the recovery.
What are the biggest frustrations of people who are dealing with aphasia? It's often when our language goes or is impacted, it seems like we can't be who we are, or people's perceptions of us change.
Oh, by all means, that is so true. One tremendous universal frustration, people with aphasia, families living with aphasia, and those of us who work on this area, is that it's so poorly understood. So, for example, we estimate that 1 million Americans live with aphasia, which is approximately the same number as live with Parkinson's disease, and yet so much more is known about Parkinson's disease than is known about aphasia. So one frustration is that when people encounter a person with aphasia, they don't know what they're encountering. And because language is really the mirror on our thinking and our intelligence, if you will, there's very often a misunderstanding that a person with a language problem has some sort of general cognitive impairment.
When you talk to patients, what do you tell them in terms of the outlook to have, or how to cope with that, and perhaps also their families?
So we know that plasticity is greatest in the months following a stroke. And so it's very important that people have speech-language therapy for aphasia in those months following the stroke. But what we now realize is that recovery can go on for very long durations after that, long periods of time after that. And that recovery from aphasia is very much like learning a second language, if you will, right? I mean, if you stop doing it, you lose it, right? In order to keep it active and keep the learning happening and keep improving, you have to keep working at it. And that's the main thing we tell families. The most important thing is to get back into life as much as possible. We speak all the time. We practice talking and listening, and communication is something that we engage in all the time. The worst thing that can happen, and does happen after a stroke, is isolation, self-imposed isolation because of embarrassment. That's the biggest thing that we have to combat.
Myrna, thank you so much for being here.
It's my great pleasure. Thank you.